Hey, I'm Tom Power. I'm the host of the podcast Q with Tom Power, where we talk to all kinds of artists, actors, writers, musicians, painters. We had Green Day on the other day talking about their huge album, American Idiot. Nicole Byer came on to talk about ADHD and comedy. And then there's Dan Levy. While we were talking about filmmaking, we talked about his insecurities.
I sometimes feel like I have this desire to, like, perform, to be a version of myself that people might like.
Listen to Q with Tom Power to hear your favorite artists as they truly are, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast.
My mom would say that I had arms like hers and that our forearms were super big, that we couldn't maybe wear sleeveless tops. One of my grandmothers never smiled in photos. She said, oh, well, bigger people are jolly people. And so she had this mindset that if she doesn't smile, that she'll remain almost thinner in a way.
Mariska Zachariah grew up hearing those messages. So did Sadiqa Sadiq.
I was brought up in a Pakistani household, and this was a very, very common thing. Just any sort of physical traits were discussed. I started wearing super baggy clothes, but then those comments turned to, why are you buying hoodies from the men's department? Or why are you wearing such big oversized clothes? Which I preferred over, you look fat.
Now a new study has found that comments like those often have a lifelong impact. UK research from the University of Bristol found long-lasting effects on adult psychological health caused by pressure from parents, from bullies, from the media, and from families. That validates what Jenna Doak experienced. She is the owner of Body Positive Fitness, and she is in Aurora, Ontario. Jenna, hello.
Hi there.
Do those comments from Mariska and Sadiqa sound familiar?
They do sound familiar. I will say that I'm lucky enough, not from my parents directly, but from other people in the world, yes.
What did you hear when you were growing up?
Well, when I was talking with your interviewer the other day, we were talking about stuff from parents directly, and it got me thinking about it. And although it wasn't a direct comment about my body, the way I was treated compared to my siblings was very evidently different because I was the bigger child of the three. For example, I was the one who was always being brought out to go for walks after dinner and going for runs with my mom. And I started going to the gym, to the fitness classes with my mom at a really young age. And my siblings were never brought out to do those things. So it was definitely, it was there. It was just maybe in a more kind way in their mind anyway.
Mm. Did you hear, I mean, outside of family, were there comments that were made about your size from other people?
Yeah, I remember very specifically having a cousin that would call me fat when I was really young. Like, I was probably like 6 years old when it started. And that stuck with me for a very long time. When I would get in fights with my siblings, the insult to me was always that I was the fat one. So comments about my size were definitely there.
Kids can be really cruel.
Yeah.
What sort of impact does that have on you in the moment? I'll ask you about it later on in life. But in the moment, do you remember kind of what that would mean to you?
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I had trouble every single day getting ready for school. It was torture for me to have to put on clothes because I was so insecure about what I looked like in everything. I was constantly aware of my size and that I was bigger than my peers or my siblings, and I always felt uncomfortable in my skin. And I can remember laying in bed on my side and grabbing my fat and trying to, like, have a measurement in my fingers of how much fat I could grab, and then seeing if it got smaller every night. And I'm talking like I was under 10 years old when that started.
What does that do to you? I mean, going through something like that at that age, what do you think the impact of that is?
Well, I became absolutely obsessed with exercise at a very young age. I had an exercise addiction for over 10 years because of that, I would say. I started working at a gym when I was very young because my uncle owned gyms when I was growing up. So my first job ever was folding towels at a gym. So right away, I was surrounded by the fitness culture and I had treadmills at my fingertips. So as soon as I could, I was on a weight loss journey. I don't remember ever not being on a weight loss journey.
Mm. What's the impact of that, do you think, on your mental health?
Oh, absolute stress, anxiety, anger. In my teens and my young to mid-20s, I was very unhappy. I had a lot of problems in my life. I didn't keep relationships well. I drank too much. I partied too hard. I was with tons of men that treated me like garbage, and it all stemmed from low self-esteem.
How do you think about your body now?
I love my body now, but it took a lot of work. I love my body for what it does. I literally train people for a living to love their bodies for what they do. Yeah. I don't look in the mirror and say, oh my God, she's gorgeous. I have the best body, but I've learned to appreciate all of the things that all of the things that your body does good for you that have nothing to do with its size.
What's the work that you did, if you don't mind me asking, to get to that place?
A lot of separating myself from my peers at the time. I've worked in a gym for 20 plus years. So I cut a lot of friends that were in the fitness industry. I started to hang out with people who were body positive, people that I met through body positive communities. I was reading anti-diet books, Health at Every Size, and just like literally unbrainwashing myself from everything that society and the fitness industry had taught me for so many years. And I would say it was about a 5-year process that I was really, really focusing on learning the whys. Like, why do we think that bodies have to be a certain way? And when did this start? And why did it start? And like learning that it is just so that industries can make tons of money off people's insecurities. And so once I started to open my eyes to that, and gain weight and feel okay in my body, it really changed the way I see literally the world.
We're going to speak with the author of this study that I introduced you speaking about in just a moment. And she's going to join us to talk about some of the details around what they looked at, but also the impact of this. But from your perspective, I mean, this is about the comments that are made to young people by adults, by the media. Uh-huh. It can be jokes, it can be shaming, they can be bullying. What should we be thinking about in terms of the long-term impact of those comments?
Yeah, we need to not talk about people's bodies, period. If you're not saying it to the children, like my parents might have not been saying it directly to me, but I heard them say it about other people. I heard them make fun of other people who were plus size. Mm. So what does that say to a child? So if you're not saying it directly to your kids, they're hearing it elsewhere. The way you talk about other people, the way your friends joke about people, when you talk about celebrity weight gain, when you talk about anything about people's bodies, they hear it, right? So they're going to internalize that whether it's about them or not. I have a 1-year-old daughter right now, and there's already comments about her size, and she's one. And it's like, at what point does it become knowingly unacceptable to talk about the size of a kid's body or anybody's body, right? So I think as a whole, we need to stop talking about each other's appearances in many different ways.
Jenna, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Jenna Doak is the founder of Body Positive Fitness in Aurora, Ontario.
I told the court that I'm wrong through in prison.
Mr. Assume, you are not to address the jury.
There's too much being hid from you.
He needs to be taken out of the court.
There's too much.
He was one small man in a giant wheel caught.
Well, I do wish to say that it's official that I'm wrongfully in prison right now.
Uncover, Season 7, Dead Wrong.
I asked him if he killed Pitbull. He said yes, and I'd be next.
Available on CBC Listen and wherever you get your podcasts.
Amanda Hughes is a research fellow at the University of Bristol in the UK. She is the lead author of that study. Some 4,000 children were studied, looking at the impact of comments about their weight. That study is published in the Lancet Regional Health Europe. Amanda, hello to you.
Hello.
What specifically did you want to look at in this study?
Yeah, so we were interested in the factors that predict the extent to which people really internalize that weight stigma and all those negative societal attitudes about weight, the extent to which people internalize that over the long term. So we used data from a study of thousands of kids born in and around the city of Bristol in England mm-hmm. in the early 90s. And they've been followed up at least once a year since then, and they're now in their 30s. So we we measured internalized weight stigma. So by getting people to, so this was when they were in their 30s, we asked them to answer questions around things like, how much do you agree with the statement, I hate myself for my weight, or my weight is a major way that I value myself as a person. So really picking up on these, you know, like really negative psychological consequences that Jenna was talking about. So we looked at that in people's 30s and then looked at how things from childhood onwards predicted that, including things like negative comments that people got from their parents when they were teens.
What did you find?
So we found that people who, when they were 13 at the time, because they're answering a questionnaire every year, when they were 13 at the time, if they reported that their parents made negative comments about their weight, or if they were teased within the family about their weight, or if they felt under pressure to lose weight from their family, those were the kids who almost 20 years later had internalized a lot more of this negative stuff around weight. And what's really interesting is that that was actually independent of how much they weighed as adults.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
So it means that you see that for kids who in their 30s are not overweight, and you're still seeing those relationships with these negative things that have been said by their families and feeling under pressure from their families back when they were teens. So you know, this affects people, you know, who are in larger bodies, but it also affects people right across the body weight spectrum. Mm. So this actually really affects all of us.
I mean, we just heard about that from Jenna, that kids hear things from all sorts of people. And this could sound obvious, but why is it that the comments from family are so important here in determining how somebody would feel about their body?
I mean, our families really matter for psychological development. Our families are where we learn a lot of our values, where we learn to think about, you know, what is a good way to be. And if you're learning from a really young age from your family that the way to be good is to be thin, you know, that's, you're going to take that to heart.
The study has received attention all over the world. One of the things that you have said is, and again, Jenna hinted at this, parents need to be, in your words, be really careful when they talk to children about weight. You say that this isn't, that they shouldn't be promoting healthy eating or saying that exercise is a good thing. But in the context of that, what does be really careful mean?
I think you absolutely can talk about, you know, the benefits of, you know, eating vegetables and eating a balanced diet, because there's many reasons to do that are not about being thin. And equally, you know, there are many benefits of being being active that are about mental health benefits. You know, endorphins are great, et cetera, et cetera. Social benefits of doing active stuff with friends. You can talk about all of that, but don't make it about being thin, and don't moralize body weight. Communicate this narrative implicitly or explicitly that thinner people are better people and bigger people are worse people.
Is your sense that society is listening to that message?
I hope so. Yeah. Because it has lots and lots of bad consequences for a lot of us.
Amanda, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Amanda Hughes is a research fellow at the University of Bristol in the UK and the lead author of this report looking at those long-term effects of comments made to young people about body size. Dr. Laurie Clark is a clinical psychologist at the Centre for Healthy Active Living. It's part of CHEO, the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. Dr. Clark, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Why do you think that people feel like they have the right to comment, or that they should comment on a child's weight or body size?
I think there's a number of reasons. I think as a society, we think it's socially acceptable, and it's been like this for years and years. And I think people equate weight with success in health and a virtue, as Amanda said, that they've moralized it. And I think people are well-meaning and trying to help. And I think when you hear the comments from parents, you know, it does have a big impact, but I think it comes from a good place. It's just not the right way to go about it.
Can you tell me more about that good place? I mean, if you're giving people the benefit of the doubt, where is that coming from? What is that good place?
Well, I think it's protection. You know, we often talk, parents, you know, parents will talk about the mama bear, the papa bear comes out to protect their kids when they're worried that they're at risk of being hurt. And weight is a highly heritable thing. And so lots of parents have their own history with weight bias and bullying and stigma in healthcare, in education, when they were kids, and they want to protect their kids from experiencing those really hurtful things out in the world. So I think they're trying to protect them, but it just means that home can sometimes feel unsafe in that way.
So understanding that motivation, what should parents, or I suppose any of us, say to a child instead, if anything?
Well, I don't think we need to comment about weight. It's not under somebody's control completely. There's a huge genetic loading for this. I think we stay away from it. And we do, as Amanda suggested, we separate weight and health because they're, you know, they're very different things, and we don't need to bring weight into it. All of us need to be, you know, moving more and having less screen time. So we don't need to bring weight into that. That being said, Matt, I would say that I'm not saying that we shouldn't tell kids that they're beautiful or handsome or attractive. Everybody needs to feel attractive, but we need to separate it from weight.
Part of this is about being comfortable in your own body, right? I mean, Jenna talked about that in, right from, and she worries about this for her one-year-old, that right from the beginning, people would talk to her and make her feel, she again, lying down on her side, kind of wondering whether she was going to lose weight. How do you go about making sure that children feel comfortable in their bodies, but also feel proud of who they are?
You celebrate what their bodies can do, not what it looks like. So as you know, Jenna sort of said, the health at every size philosophy that I think is starting to get more and more traction is about celebrating how strong your body is, how it lets you run and play with your friends, how you've learned a new skill. That's what kids gain self-esteem from. And so can we focus on what our bodies let us do and not what it looks like?
How do we square that with statistics that come from the medical community and beyond, talking about childhood obesity rates, that they've tripled in this country over the last 30 years, that you go to the doctor and the doctor will still talk, I mean, over the course of your life, but I mean, if you have a young baby and you take the baby to the doctor, they'll talk about ideal weights, for example. How do we square that with what you're saying?
Yeah, so the Center for Healthy Active Living at CHEO is the obesity treatment program for this part of the province. And we hear this all the time from our patients. So the issue is, as this study nicely points out, and other studies have pointed out, is the more we talk about weight, the more we're driving weight gain and eating disorders.
What is that? So how to explain that to me?
Well, people, there's lots of research to say that people who are of a higher weight and feel that there's weight bias and stigma avoid healthcare altogether. Physicians spend less time with these patients. Psychologists attribute more psychopathology to them. And so they avoid healthcare. And there's even some research to suggest that, you know, at a biological level, this internalized weight bias increases things like cortisol levels, which makes weight gain easier. And so we really do need to step away from this, you know, thinking about weight loss as the ultimate goal. And I think as a province and as a country, you know, the weight management centers for kids understand this, but it's having the rest of the healthcare system understand it as well.
And so just, I mean, in the last minute or so that we have, if you go back to that motivation that you talked about and what parents want, they want the best for their kids. They want their kids to be active. They want them to eat healthy food. They want them to have less screen time and be outside running around more. How do you communicate that without sending the wrong message?
Well, it has to be for everybody, right? It has to be for everybody in the family, regardless of what their weight or shape. And it's about health and moving more and having family meals together and helping parents to understand that you know, they want to protect their kids from, any weight-based teasing that might happen outside of the house, but it needs to start inside the house, and kids need to feel accepted there. And parents have a huge impact in that, and they can help sort of shore up kids against some of that teasing that might happen outside.
And what we say as parents to young kids can have a lifelong impact. I mean, that sounds obvious, but it's true.
It is true. And I've heard when I've worked with kids with eating disorders, they remember things that, you know, parents, relatives have said about their weight, it sticks. And so hearing you're beautiful and you're handsome and you're doing great from parents especially is really important.
Dr. Clark, good to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Lori Clark is a clinical psychologist at the Center for Healthy Active Living at the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. Would love to hear from you on this in terms of things that you have heard in past, perhaps to you, to others, and the impact of those comments about weight and size. And in the context of that, what do you say to your kids about being healthy and being active without applying that stigma? You can email us, thecurrent@cbc.ca.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.